Hello.
Yes, please.
I want to call on him.
Mr. Harlow, yes, sir. There you are, Mr.
Hello.
Mr. President.
Yes, Bryce.
I'm afraid I'm a little impudent to call you, but I wanted to, and I very much appreciate your courtesy in letting me talk. I was talking with Mr. Nixon this afternoon. He told me of your call, and he was quite troubled over it. And I told him that you had told me the other evening to call you whenever I felt like it. And I thought I would do that. He was concerned whether or not it was being construed that he had indicated he had a veto right over your actions for the balance of your term. And he did not say that, and I was very fearful that the press was trying to read it this way and had so reported to you. And I was present when he had his press conference, and he very specifically did not say that and said exactly the opposite. And I wanted to make sure that was understood by you, because he is trying to play the game, I think, exactly the way you want it played.
I was bothered because we did not get the transcript, and they would like to divide us any way they can.
Well, of course they
would. We could not see what he said, but the phrase that gave us trouble was not that he was sending Murphy as an observer, which he had stated to me in the telephone call, but that before we would take action, it would be necessary to have approval. Now, that language is given in the tonight in his television statement. I saw it on ABC at 7 o'clock. It very definitely connotes an agreement between us that A, not only calls for an observer, B, a consultation, but C, approval.
Oh, well.
Now, that is in the language of all the wire services. So they were just murdering George Christian. George Christian is very fair and wants to be very helpful to your people, and is going to, as am I, because you've got all you can do with everybody helping. It's going to be difficult enough. So he held off his briefing until we could get a response. When we got a hold of the president-elect, I suggested to him, looking at the AP ticker and the UP ticker, I had not seen television at that time, the phrase that gave us trouble that said approval. When they asked him about veto, of course he said, no, it doesn't mean that at all. The other questions came out good, but that statement when he presented Murphy went that far. So what George said to him, I don't have the text in front of me. I'm over at the house with a group of folks in the West Hall dinner, and I had to come to my bedroom and take it. But what George said was the president and the secretary asked the president-elect to designate his Secretary of State and Defense and Budget Director as quickly as possible, that in the absence of that, because he would surely want to know about some of these things that are big problems that are troubling us now,
yes,
in the absence of that, pick a man they had the most confidence in and send him here, and we would give him an office near us, and he could act as a liaison, so instead of my calling Nixon or Russ calling Nixon or calling you, this man would be there. There are about 800 cables coming in and out every day.
Right.
And some of them are matters that all of you ought to be aware of, so that you just don't get into it cold.
Right.
And the president-elect agreed that he would like to do that, and he thought of one or two, and called me this morning and said, quote, I would like to send Mr. Murphy as my observer. Now, that's what he is going to be. Now, of course, he is leaning over backwards not to interfere and make this a two-president country. I'm leaning over backwards the same way.
Right.
And you fellows have got to do all you can try not to divide us, because
exactly,
we saw in '60 what they did in Southeast Asia. President Eisenhower said to President Kennedy on January the 19th that I would make this decision, except that it would be a problem for you, and I think that you will have to do it, but maybe you won't do what I would do. In 62, in October the 22nd, they had the Cuban Missile Crisis, 8 days before an election, 10 days before. So we have to watch that, and the best statement that has been made, in my judgment, not only for the country, but the world, and also from a political standpoint, was the president-elect statement the other evening that we would speak with an undivided voice until January the 20th, and my little statement that we were going to have this government function efficiently before January the 20th and after January the 20th. So. The important point is, some of them were interpreting this as running away from his statement the other day. They thought some people had put pressure on, and all the Times and Post people, different ones, saying that this, here he is, he's backing away. George Christian took this position. He said the president and Mr. Nixon had a meeting the other day and agreed that he would send an observer or liaison man. Both of them stated to you their feelings before the microphone. Those feelings have not changed from that date. The only thing that's changed is that Mr. Murphy has been designated as an observer, and the President and Secretary Rusk look upon him with great favor, something like that. Now, that's where we are. I think that's what we ought to stay with. Now, I don't want to make any commitments or promises or obligations that I must do this or do that before I make a decision. Obviously, though, I'm not going to be calling on October the 16th to George Wallace, Hubert Humphrey, and Dick Nixon if on November the 16th I would fail to discuss with Murphy or somebody else something that I thought they ought to know.
That's right.
Now, it's just a question of whether how they interpret it, and I think we ought to try to say, well, I'm going to support our president just like I did all through the campaign and not undercut the negotiations. I'm going to do the same thing. I have every reason to believe that he has the same purpose I do, a good America, and that's all we want. So you just let us handle it ourselves, reporters, and I stand on my statement made the other night, and the president stand on his, and that's the last time we appeared publicly together, and we will be talking back and forth, and I expect rather frequently, but and we will be cooperating.
Now, this is good.
If you look at the TV statement, it brings in the word approval, that we had an agreement that would require his approval.
Well, I'll get it.
Now, that's you read that script, and you'll find that language.
The trouble was in his statement about Murphy.
Yes.
I thought he was in the question and answer part.
No, he said his veto. He said, no, it doesn't give me any veto. He hit that exactly right.
Yeah.
But they didn't take that. They took the part that said it would require approval, and they said Nixon is backing out on what he said the other day. Now, the truth of business is this press does not like me, and it does not like him any better.
Right.
Neither one of us is going to get along with it as well as you did when you were here 8 years ago. But we have to lean over backwards for that reason to try to understand each other, and I'm going to do it. And I wouldn't let him have a press briefing until we could call him. And I didn't call him for the purpose of doing anything except letting him know our problem here, A, and B, get an agreement from him on what we'd say.
Right.
Because if I go in and George Christian says, no, we didn't have any such agreement that required approval, well, then you've got a credibility thing.
Yeah, then we start this whole thing off all over again.
Yeah.
Well,
and if you'll see the president-elect's statements, you'll see that he says in there that it would not only require counseling, but would require approval, something to that effect, along that line. That's what got him upset. I think they're settled now. I met with four or five later this evening, and the whole tone of the questioning was based on the president-elect's statement the other evening.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people like Bill White and Crosby Noyes and Ken Crawford and pretty responsible Dick Wilson, pretty responsible newspaper man. And all of them said, could you tell us why both of you are trying so hard to get along with each other these days. I said, well, first, what you've read about our hatred for each other never has been so. That's number one. Number two, I think we're both old pros. Number three, the man helped me most in my job for 5 years was a president who preceded me, the only living one that preceded me. That is Mr. Eisenhower. I would hope that I could do as much for Mr. Nixon, period.
That's very fine. That's very fine. Well, they're trying so hard to split you folks, and that's the reason I called.
They're not going to do that. Don't you ever worry about that. They're not going to do that. We'll check with you before we get in hot water, and you do the same thing.
All right, sir.
And come by here the first day you're in town, and don't feel any hesitancy. I'm going to depend on you to keep in touch with me, and be sure that Klein talks to George Christian. Now, one of the weaknesses this afternoon is we did not have available the text.
Yeah.
We called the young man, Ziegler. We called Ziegler, but we never did get it. We've got to have communications, better communications. Army communication will have to come there and put them in. I think you ought to see any questions I ask us about you all, and we ought to see yours just almost simultaneously about us. So we don't get
crossways.
I got crossways with the news secretary. Bill Moyers thought I was going across the nation. I had no intention I was going to be operated on. But he implied that I would be going on a nationwide trip. So then they thought both of us were liars. And it was just a question of his not knowing what the doctors had told me I had to do. So these little things cause us trouble. And I think when you have press announcements, you ought to have a stenographic person there. If you don't have them, let us get somebody there. You ought to have communications to send the press conference to this press office here, and we ought to do likewise, because these are going to be testing times, and he ought to be where I can get him any time I call him, even if he's in the car, and it ought to be likewise.
That's right.
And you have perfect liberty to call me any time, day or night. I stay awake a lot, and I don't bother a bit, and I like to talk on the phone, and I think Klein or Ziegler ought to talk to George Christian. He's my key man. And Rostow's my key man. And if they ask him a question on foreign policy that he doesn't want to mix it up thing, all he needs to do is pick up phone call Rostow. He's a great admirer of President Eisenhower. He worked for Dulles, you know.
That's right.
And he'll just call him as you see him. You can take his advice or don't take it, but you can at least communicate with him. And you call me anytime, and because I want to help you all as much as your administration helped me.
You're real nice, sir. I very much appreciate it, and I very much appreciate our chatting.
And I didn't intend to leave the impression that I was irritated at all. I was just clarifying.
No, he was just concerned.
No, tell him not to be. I'll tell him when to be concerned.
All right. Okay. I think that's probably right.
Thank you, my friend. Bye.